Hi. This is my first time standing here, as Stephen said, bringing God's word to you. But before I start, I want to encourage you in something. In preparing for this talk, I have experienced all sorts of attack from the enemy on me and my family. I'm only speaking about me preparing for this morning. Stephen and James do this week in and week out, as well as pastoring us. I want to take this opportunity before I start to encourage you to pray for them regularly and for their families. Maybe every time you boil the kettle or something, just remember them to the Lord. So let us pray. Lord, please use the words you have given me to speak through them. I pray that if there is anything that is not of you, let it be forgotten. Amen. So, do you like going to the cinema? I love going to the cinema. The big screen, the big sound, the popcorn. But mostly, I like watching movies. And they're so much better in the cinema than on the TV at home. The other part I love in the cinema is watching the trailers to see what new movies are going to be released soon. A good trailer gives enough of the storyline, shows the best scenes, but leaves the viewer wanting to know more and how things end. Trailers are a skill. The trailer for a movie can make or break it. And when a movie company has invested so much in making the movie, they invest heavily in the trailer. Last week, Stephen spoke about what John the Baptist said about Jesus. John's role was to be the voice in the wilderness, saying, "Clear the way of the Lord's coming." John was the trailer for Jesus. He provided glimpses about Jesus to the crowds who came out from Jerusalem to hear him. Stephen put this slide up last week, which is a very useful summary of the trailer that John gave. I've highlighted a couple of the key parts of this trailer, you know, the bits that make you think the movie is really worth going to see. Ultimately, it boils down to Jesus is the chosen one, the Son of God. So far in this chapter, John, as the author of the Gospel, has provided us with a prologue, setting out that Jesus has always been and how the early scripture points to Jesus. He then tells us how the stage was set by John the Baptist, providing enough for the people to be open to hearing Jesus. In today's passage, Jesus enters the narrative. So, reading from John chapter 1, verse 35. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Let's just pause there. Have you ever wondered what the disciples actually thought and what made them follow Jesus? Was it the final encouragement from John the Baptist? A bit like when that friend says for the fourth time, "You really must see that movie." And you just go to find out, thinking to find out what they find that's so amazing about the film. Or was it the disciples' eyes being opened more to who Jesus was, and as they had a chance to see more? We know from the other three Gospels that John had baptized Jesus, and when Jesus came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved son," just as John the Baptist had said would happen. Regardless of what was going on and got their initial attention, there certainly was something about Jesus that captivated them. We continue. Turning round, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent the day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard from that what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which, when translated, is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, We have found the one who Moses wrote about in the law, and whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. But you will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This year, our memory verse is, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." From the passage, we see how delighting themselves with Jesus had a big impact on those he came into contact with. There's a phrase that repeats itself throughout the passage: "Come and see." We'll explore this further later, but first, these early disciples were unable to contain themselves when they spent any time with Jesus. They rushed out and told others, in a similar way that when we have seen a fantastic movie, we go and tell others. And when we do, we are animated, or at least I am. I say how it impacted me, how it was well acted, or how good the soundtrack was. I show them the trailer. YouTube's great. So, what is your Jesus trailer? How do you go and tell others about Jesus? We see many different examples of trailers in the passage. We have already looked at John the Baptist, which was enough for two of his disciples to go and follow Jesus to find out more. It's pretty comprehensive. And as Andrew spends time with Jesus that afternoon, his eyes are opened even more. That this is indeed something truly amazing. Something that he wants those he loves to experience. Something that has changed him in a short time, more than being a disciple of John changed him. What does Andrew do? He runs to tell his brother, and when he gets there, what does he say? He says his own trailer. He says, "We have found the Messiah." When we read scripture, it's always important to consider the context. These were Jews living under Roman occupation. They were oppressed. Life was hard, very hard. The taxes they had to pay were extortionate, taking most of their income, meaning they worked long and hard and lived in poverty. In many ways, not too dissimilar to a time much earlier in their history when the Hebrews lived as slaves in Egypt. In addition, they had not been word from God through the prophets for 400 years. The hope that these Jews had was that the Messiah would come and free them from the oppression of the Romans in the same way that God, through Moses, freed them from the Egyptians. And in Acts chapter 4, tells us that Simon and John, and so reasonable to attribute this to Andrew as well, were uneducated, and they had no special training in the scriptures. Yet they would have still known some of the scriptures from attending synagogue, and their hope was in them. So, imagine the situation as Andrew bursts in on Simon in the late afternoon, possibly just as Simon was getting out of bed, because fishing was done at night time to avoid the heat of the day and the fish seeing the nets. So Simon might have been a bit cross with Andrew, for he had fished alone the night before, whilst Andrew had been swanning off with John the Baptist. Before Simon lets rip into Andrew, Andrew blurts out, "We have found the Messiah." This changes everything. Was this really true? Would this mean freedom from the oppression of the Romans? What did the Messiah look like? How sceptical was Peter? How intrigued was Peter? However, he felt it was enough of a trailer for him to go with Andrew to find out more for himself. The other trailer we see is Philip and Nathanael. Again, Philip's trailer is similar. We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael's response is fairly disbelieving at first. Can anything good come from Nazareth? How often have we received that response when we have shared about Jesus? Not necessarily Nazareth, but maybe a sceptical view about church or religion. But rather than debating the point, Philip simply says, come and see. I love this. There must have been something about how excited Philip was, how certain he was, that made it impossible for Nathanael to ignore. But Philip didn't just leave it with Nathanael saying, why don't you go and discover for yourself? Or read this book and it will tell you all about it and then you'll be able to make up your own mind. He says, come. Come is very different to go. Often we talk in church about the need to go, but here we see the invitation is come. Come suggests doing something with someone else. It is an invitation like, come and have coffee with me, something I'm always open to, by the way. As a church, we started an Alpha course recently, a couple of weeks ago. Typically, the people going are going because someone invited them. However, inviting is often not enough. And there are several members of our church family who, having invited people to Alpha, have gone with them and are attending the course together. We see this modelled in the passage. Philip says to Nathanael, come and see, not go and see for yourself. Philip then accompanies Nathanael and introduces him to Jesus. In the same way, Andrew takes Simon to Jesus. You see, come invites. Come invites others to meet Jesus in the case of Simon and Nathanael. Come invites Andrew and John to be disciples, to follow Jesus, to learn from him. But come means being changed. Going back to the movie analogy, have you ever watched a movie and been impacted by it, that it has changed you? Maybe it makes you look at something differently or think about something differently. I remember watching the movie Titanic with Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet. The movie builds a number of different storylines around the characters and how they relate to each other. Now, I don't know if you have seen it, but in case you haven't, spoiler alert is coming. In the end, the ship sinks. But what impacted me most was how the movie portrayed the fear and the trauma of the situation of the ship sinking and how that affected the different characters, how they faced the life and death situation and how they dealt with it, how their behaviour changed and how they related to each other. I thought about this for a number of weeks after watching the movie. It changed me. But that is just an adaptation of a historical event. When Jesus says come to us, he doesn't just say come, check this out and go home. He says come and follow me. Go where I go and learn. Be my disciple, my follower, my apprentice. Learn from me so you can do what I do and more. In fact, later in John's Gospel, Jesus says, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works. But to follow Jesus means leaving where we are. It means leaving things behind, or leaving people behind, or leaving positions behind, and going where he goes. But what I've learned is Jesus doesn't stay in one place for very long. He keeps on moving. Come does not require a one-time response, but a daily one. It means being obedient to what he asks, following him, even into the uncomfortable places. As a church, We seek to multiply fully devoted disciples of Jesus. That is hard to say. Fully devoted disciples of Jesus. This is great, but it comes with a cost. We have to be fully devoted disciples of Jesus. If we are just Sunday devoted disciples of Jesus, we will just multiply Sunday disciples of Jesus. To multiply fully devoted disciples of Jesus, we have to be one. But the great part is that we get to see what Jesus does through us and through us in every way as we choose to follow him in every part of our lives. This brings me to my third point. The invitation given is not just come. It is come and see. But what is it that we're being invited to see? Philip said to Nathanael, come and see. He was convinced that when Nathanael saw Jesus, he wouldn't just see a man from Nazareth, but the Messiah. And in his very first encounter with Jesus, Nathanael had his eyes opened and he saw who Jesus was. But Jesus is clear that this is not all he wanted Nathanael to see. Let's remind ourselves of the exchange. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you. Jesus saw Nathanael, not just the man walking towards him, but saw his heart. He knew him. And he sees us in the same way, not only when we come to him, but in our everyday lives, at our best, at our worst. He knows us intimately. What was Nathanael doing under the fig tree? It was obviously very significant to him, because Nathanael declares, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Instantly, Nathanael sees who Jesus is. But Jesus wants to impress on him that he does not just want him to be seen as the Son of God. He wants us to see more. Jesus said, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that. He then added, very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Come and see is not just come and meet Jesus, or come and realize he is the Messiah. He wants us to see what that means. He wants us to see why he came to earth. The Jews believed the Messiah would be a king who would reinstate the Jewish people, bringing peace and prosperity. At the time of Jesus, this was very much focused on defeating the Romans and leading the Jewish people into freedom. Today, we look at Jesus as our Saviour, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But at the end of this passage, I believe Jesus is saying to those first disciples, as he says to us today, that he came for more. Jesus did not come to earth just to save us from our sins. The price he paid on the cross for our salvation was a high one, but it was for more than just salvation. In verse 51, Jesus alludes to Genesis 28 and the dream that Jacob had about the ladder between heaven and earth. Jacob had a dream in which he saw a stairway or a ladder resting on the earth and its top reaching into heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. But rather than the ladder that Jacob saw, Jesus is saying that he is the ladder, that he is the connection between heaven and earth, that it is through him the earth will be reconnected to heaven, and that we will be able to have an intimate relationship with the Lord. Jesus came to reconcile us with the Father, that we can live as sons and daughters in a perfect relationship with the Father again. That blows me away, that he calls me son. He calls you daughter, or he calls you son. Jesus Jesus says to us today, come and see. Maybe he said that to you a while ago. What did that look like to you, for you? Did someone invite you to come and see him like Andrew or Philip did? Did you recognize him straight away like Nathaniel, or did it take a bit longer? It took me longer. My story is a bit more messy. Rather than come and see, it was more come and know. Know about Jesus. I spent years in church learning about him, but rarely encountering him, not understanding how intimacy was possible. I heard people talk about it, but did not understand, and wasn't really sure that anyone else did, to be honest. It was some sort of ethereal dream. I struggled with a verse that we see later in John's Gospel in chapter 10. In verse 10, Jesus says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." The first part of the verse I have no issue with. I was well aware of the thief taking from me and destroying all my things. The second part I was okay with as well. I fully believe that Jesus came so that I could have life, have salvation. It was the last bit that I didn't understand. Life in the full, or abundant life as it's sometimes translated. The life I was living was not life in the full. It was life in the struggle. It all seemed so hard. I wanted to live as a good Christian, but it sometimes I was programmed just not to. So it was a constant battle. A friend suggested that I go on a sort of led retreat, basically taking some time out with God, away from the noise of the world and allowing him to speak to me about how he saw me, a bit like Jesus seeing Nathaniel under the fig tree. But in that week, I saw so much more of who Jesus was and how he connected to me, to the Father. He transformed my relationship from one of struggle to one of life in the full, from one of knowing about Jesus to one of knowing Jesus, from being an acquaintance with Jesus to having an intimate relationship with him. For the first time, I heard him call me son. This is why I wear hoodies and t-shirts with Questlife on it. It was on the Quest event that I connected with the Father, that I heard him and discovered that abundant life Jesus talks about. And I want others to find that too. In a way, this hoodie is part of my trailer. So, as I wrap up, I have a couple of questions to ask you. Firstly, what is your trailer? How do you invite people to come and see? As I said, the trailer for a movie can make it or make or break it. How much effort have you put into preparing your trailer to be able to share about Jesus? Is it proportionate to your investment in him? Maybe take some time now to think about what your trailer is. How does it draw people to Jesus? What are the parts of your story that will resonate with people and make them want to find out more? The second question I have is for us, who is he asking us to say come and see to? Who is he asking us to show our trailer to? This may be someone who doesn't know him or not heard of him. But we must remember, Andrew went and found Simon and Philip went and found Nathaniel. Both Simon and Nathaniel were Jews who already knew the scriptures and knew about the Messiah, but they did not know the Messiah. Maybe your invitation is to someone who has just heard about the movie, maybe read some reviews and talked to people who have been to see it, but they have never gone to see the movie itself. Ask the Lord who you are to rush out and say, come and see. Lastly, and maybe that is you. Maybe you have heard about the movie from so many different people and things you have read. You think you know all there is, but you still have never seen the movie. Maybe you're like I was. You have been around church for so long that you know that all there is, but have never connected with the Father intimately in the relationship that Jesus came to enable. You've never heard him call you son or daughter. If that is the case, please talk more to me or James or Stephen, and we'd love to help you to have that relationship, which is real and not something that is unobtainable.